Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It is Sunday, September 9th. I am Liz Dolan. I am here in Santa Monica, California, joined on the line with one sister. But we have an action-packed lineup for you. It doesn't matter how many sisters there are here. It's just all about how much material we have to work with. So Julie Dolan in Dallas, Texas. Can I ask you a question, actually?
Yes.
Can we start with a question? I noticed on the news this morning that it is Grandparents Day. And I have to admit, I've never heard of this before. Like, I know that you are a grandmother. You have young Alice and young Benjamin. Is Grandparents Day a thing? When did that become a thing?
Liz, I'll have to say I'm a little shocked to hear about this. I noticed it on the church bulletin today. It said Happy Grandparents Day. I don't know. It kind of crept up on me. I think it's pretty new. I mean, I've heard of Grandparents Days associated with the schools. Like, there's a certain day.
They just declare their own day, though. It's not all on one day.
No, I've never heard of this.
Because I thought maybe I was just out of it because I'm not a grandparent, and it's been a long time since we've had grandparents. So maybe I just lost the thread of what we do now for grandparents in America. But okay, you're a grandparent. How's that going for you?
Well, Liz, I had kind of a nice Nana weekend because this was the first week that granddaughter Alice, she's five and a half, she likes to say, started her soccer career. You know how important that is. Now here's the other sort of cultural twist to this. Alice's mom, my daughter-in-law Vera, grew up in Kyrgyzstan. So playing soccer wasn't something that girls did. So she has no back, you know, she's in favor of sports. She wants Alice to be active. She was active growing up herself, but she's just a little uncertain about girls playing soccer because she's never really seen it.
Ah, that's so interesting.
Yeah. So,
old is Vera? Vera's like 30.
30,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
So that just wasn't something that girls growing up in Kyrgyzstan or Russian girls, they didn't do that. So, but she's game. So Alice wanted to sign up for a little school team. So she gets out there. And, you know, it's five-year-old girl soccer, Liz. I'm sure you might have seen this. It's really kind of like it looks like a swarm of bumblebees as they sort of all bunch up around the ball. And I don't even know how they score goals. But it was all going well. Alice enjoyed her uniform. Which is really important in five-year-old girl soccer.
Yes, that could be like a complete hurdle to get over. If she didn't like the uniform, she was not going out there.
So she's having a good time. Her team is doing surprisingly well, okay? And again, Vera doesn't know much about this, but I just had given her the advice on the sidelines that it doesn't really matter about winning or losing in five-year-old soccer, but believe me, it's better if they win because they do.
They cry less.
So it's all going well. And Benjamin is the three-year-old grandson. He's on the sidelines. He's having a good time. And then all of a sudden, there is screaming, there is crying, and someone is yelling out, Alice Smith's mother, Alice.
Oh, no.
So then out of this swarm of kids, and there's crying and there's screaming, comes Alice. And somehow she has taken an elbow to the nose, and there's a lot of blood, Liz. Not a little blood, it is like, this is...
Wow, rough out there, girls throwing elbows at that age.
I mean, there is just so much blood coming down. Okay, so Alice is crying. All the girls on her soccer team are crying. The opposing team is crying as well. Okay, Ben, the three-year-old, when he sees, gets a look at his sister, where really just gushing blood. It's just like we can hardly stop it. He is screaming, running around because he's so horrified by this situation. And poor little Alice is shaking. And she looks down and she now sees that she has blood all over her uniform, which, for boys soccer, they'd be happy. But she, again, is horrified. And so I'm sitting there, we're trying to patch her up. And just, it's a miracle, but nothing is wrong with her nose. Nothing is wrong with her teeth. She just had a big, bad, bloody nose,
Yeah.
thinking, uh-oh, it is now over. There is no way that either Alice or Vera ever going to want to play soccer again. But I have to give it to Vera. She was like, maybe it's that tough Russian in her.
Yes.
Like, wiped Alice off and sent her back into the game, which I just loved, you know. And Alice, I guess, just kind of wanted to be with her friends. And once she realized she really wasn't hurt and that her team was still winning, see, I told Vera, she was A-okay with the whole situation. So,
that is so funny, because it must be pretty intimidating to go back out there with blood all over your uniform. That must give you a certain edge, too.
Yes, well, they're a good team. So I think, in fact, this weekend she's back out on the field. So I hope it goes a little better than the first time. But happy Grandparents' Day to all the grandparents out there.
Yes, happy Grandparents' Day to everyone. Glad you got your own holiday. Just heard about it myself, but good for you. Okay, well, here's my quasi-medical report. Sadly, as I posted on the Satellite Sisters Facebook group a couple weeks ago, my dog Ferris, who many of you have heard me talk about over the years, he's about 9 years old. I rescued him when he was one, and he's, what would you call him, Julie? He's sort of a fluffy mutt, right? He's just like an everyman's terrier, I would say.
But he has star quality, Liz. I mean, he looks like one of those super cute dogs on TV.
Yes. If you've seen the Travelers Insurance commercial with the dog that like is worried about his financial future, that dog is the total doppelganger for Ferris. So now you can picture him. That's exactly what he looks like. Anyway, he had been a little sluggish for a couple of weeks, not really eating, not his old self. So we went back and forth to the vet a few times. There was an ultrasound involved. There were a couple of other tests. And I got the sad news last Friday that Ferris has lymphoma. So that is really bad. That is that, you know, it's just terrible. So that is cancer in, it's all in his spleen. And so that's what's slowing him down. So there are a couple of ways to treat that. There's no way to cure it, but there are a couple of ways to treat it. And the one is to just put the dog on steroids. It's prednisone. And that can keep them happy for a couple of months, they said. And then you can also try chemo. So that's what we're trying. We're trying a little chemo. And we'll see how that goes. But in the meantime, it's been really, really challenging to get him to eat anything. And so I really appreciate everyone on the Satellite Sisters Facebook group who has posted their own suggestions about what their own dogs have eaten when their dogs were sick. Like all of the various foods and tricks to get them to, now I have to give him this prednisone every morning and he's just outsmarting me taking the pills. So in the past week, it's now like I'm cooking 8 or 9 dinners every night for my dog now, because
you didn't do a lot of home cooking because you're pretty busy. So,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But I was like, I keep trying things and then he rejects it and then I'll try something else. So in the past week, the various combinations of things I've cooked every night would be like ground chicken, chicken breasts, ground beef, steak. People suggested cheese. I've tried string cheese. I've tried cheddar cheese.
Someone wrote in and said you could put the pill in cream cheese.
Cream cheese, yes, that was a good suggestion. There were a lot of peanut butters suggested. Mm-hmm. He seems to really have taken to the beef bologna is working very well. But he also likes the turkey bologna on some days. There are days where the turkey franks seem to be something that he's interested in. But other days where that's not going to work, but the beef hot dogs might work. Or, you know, our dog growing up, we had a black lab named Tor growing up, right, Julie?
Mm-hmm.
And his favorite when he was sick was always liverwurst. So I've tried that. Others are taking the more organic, healthy approach. And carrots was a suggestion, that a lot of dogs like carrots.
Yep.
And really? Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
Maybe cooked carrots?
I can't get any carrots down. So I got to say, out of all of these things, the chicken, the beef, the cheese, the bologna, the hot dogs, the liverwurst, the carrots, and then the pill pockets, the occasional slice of bologna is actually getting ingested. Almost everything else is failing. Or it might work for like one night, but then the next night he's not interested at all. So it's rough. It's not good. He's getting a little, you know, he's losing weight, and I have to figure out how to get those calories in him. But I also noticed that between the bolognas, he seemed to gravitate to some brands but not other brands. I don't know what that's about. Well, so
I'm just having a hard time thinking of your refrigerator, where I don't believe bologna has ever been in your refrigerator, Liz, as an adult. Have you ever had bologna in your home?
It's so funny, Julie. Like, even the where do you get bologna? Like, question was like, really? They still make bologna? So in the beginning, because bologna was helpfully suggested on the Facebook page, you know, I bought some of the Whole Foods bologna. Yeah. And that didn't go over big at all. Apparently he's really craving the nitrates or whatever it is that is not in the fancy bologna. So then I got the like all American Oscar Mayer bologna.
Okay.
And Oscar Mayer beef bologna, that worked for a couple of days, but then he started walking away from that. But then the dog sitter, Mark, who comes in every day and walks in while I'm at work, but also takes care of him when I'm out of town, Mark had this brand of bologna that he seemed to really like. And so I called Mark and I'm like, where do you get that bologna? Like, what is that? It's called Zaki's bologna. And I don't spend a lot of time in the bologna section, as we've already established, but I had never seen this brand. I'm like, where would I get that bologna that you feed him that he seems to like? And he's like, oh, Liz, this is a place you have never been before. I'm like, come on. Of course I've been there. He's like, I get it at the 99-cent store. So I'm now food shopping at the 99-cent store. Ferris and I went there together yesterday, as a matter of fact, to stock up on the super cheap turkey bologna and the super cheap turkey franks. And it's the Zaki's brand. And so far, that seems to be beating out either the Oscar Mayer or the much more high-end Whole Foods.
Now, isn't that just like Ferris?
It is.
I mean, you know, he's always been a very considerate dog, just wants to fit in with your lifestyle, mm-hmm. doesn't really want to cause a fuss, doesn't want you to spend a lot of extra money right. on his new diet, and really what he prefers is the 99-cent store bologna.
Yes,
that is,
yes.
He's a very fine dog, mm-hmm. Liz.
He's a dog of the people. He's always been a dog of the people. Don't you think rescue dogs just have that sense about him? You had that nice rescue dog, Marty, that
yes.
you got from the pound in New Orleans. Marty,
yes.
Marty was always a dog of the people, too.
Right, right.
Yeah. So anyway, so we're working on the food thing. Some days are good. Other days, not so good. But there's a lot of food experimentation going on here. So in my mind now, I'm kind of ranking the days, figuring out, how's he doing today, good or bad? So I have a ranking. In my own head, it's what I'm calling the squirrelometer ranking, right? So in the squirrelometer ranking, with 10 being he's going to chase that thing across the street and up a tree, and 1 being the squirrel can sashay right in front of him and not even get a reaction. I would say Thursday and Friday, we were at a 6 or a 7 on the squirrelometer. We were really gaining momentum that we seem to have lost this weekend. So today we're back down to a 3 on the squirrelometer. But, you know, we just stocked up on all the new Zaki's turkey bologna and turkey franks from the 99-cent store. So I'm hoping that will make a difference. And one other thing that seems to be making a difference, and this is just something I observed last weekend, Leanne invited me over for dinner, like a little afternoon in her backyard and a barbecue, and Mom and I both went. And because the day before Ferris had had his first day of chemo, I didn't want to leave Ferris home alone. And I guess it was Saturday we went. It was that very day he had had his first dose of chemo. So I brought Ferris with me, and he was hardly eating at all last Saturday. But I noticed that by accident, as Leanne was taking stuff out to the grill to make up the cheeseburgers, a piece of cheddar cheese fell to the floor. And Ferris, looked at it, looked away, looked at it again, and then went over and ate it. And he's never eaten a piece of cheese in his life. So that was his first ever piece of cheese. And he's not normally a dog that, like, most dogs scrounge around on the floor all the time.
Yeah, that would be my dog.
Zorro.
But
sure.
Ferris doesn't, he doesn't really scrounge for people food, right?
He does not. He's not a people food kind of dog. But there was something about, like, the fact that he would eat a piece of cheese laying on the ground when he would not eat it when I offered it to him in my hand or put it in his bowl, that I've started using that as a tactic now. Occasionally I will try to, like, hand feed him something and he will reject it. And so I just throw it on the floor. And he'll walk away and he'll, like, 50% of the time, he'll come back and eat it. So if you looked at my kitchen floor right now, you would think I was a total crazy person. Because
do anything. I know. Maybe hide it behind a tree outside, you know, so you can forage for it.
Yes. All over the kitchen floor now, there's, like, a piece of cheese here, a piece of bologna over there, a little smear of liverwurst over here in the corner, just so that in case he gets motivated to eat any of it, it's just there waiting for him on the kitchen floor. So that's where we are with the dog report. You know, it's been up and down. He has had some good days and some bad days, and we're just going to have to take it from there. The poor little guy, he doesn't appear to be in any pain, which is good. Yeah. But he definitely, there are days when he just must be so nauseous, he doesn't feel like eating. So there's a lot of experimentation going on in this house. So that is that report. Meanwhile,
how about a new food group, like soups? Do you think he might enjoy a soup?
When he was first not eating, the vet told me to get a turkey baster and shoot some chicken broth down his throat, because if they're not eating at all, they get low on electrolytes. And he's like, he needs the electrolytes from the chicken broth. Okay, that did not work at all. That was me on the floor holding him, trying to shoot turkey broth. First of all, I had to go out and get buy a baster, because why would I own a turkey baster? So turkey baster, chicken broth, me and a dog on the kitchen floor. That was a total mess. So then I tried putting the broth just in a bowl that he could lap up. That didn't work either. So, you know, I think we're going to... Oh, and those pill pockets. Thank you for all of the people that suggested that on the Facebook page.
Yes, yeah.
No interest at all in those. But it doesn't mean he might not next week. So I now have, like, a year's supply of pill pockets. And it might start working next week. There's no way to know. But thank you for your good wishes. I will keep you posted within reason on the Facebook page. And we'll just see how that goes. But in the meantime, because I've had him under observation, I have been spending a lot more time at home than I normally would. Like, in the evenings, on the weekends, we're just kind of hanging out together. And luckily, the past 2 weeks has been an excellent couple of weeks for television, right?
After the Olympics, there was kind of a void for a while. But then, you're right, Liz, things fired up with the two conventions.
The two conventions and the U.S. Open. So it meant if there was something happening in the U.S. Open, there was always, you know, like, some kind of match you could watch, or you'd go back and forth to the convention. If it was a speaker you didn't really care about or care for, you could go back to the tennis. So between the RNC and then the DNC and all of the U.S. Open, I feel like I really, I was highly entertained with 2 weeks of television. And I was thinking, you know, I always complain when commentators comment so much more about what women look like when they're on the stage than what men look like. You know, I think a lot of women sort of have that issue. Like, it's just not fair, right?
Exactly, Liz. I mean, you know, nobody ever comments on, you know, on Joe Biden's hair or something like that, but they don't miss an opportunity to point out some woman's hairstyle.
Right, right. So I was thinking about that a lot as I watched 2 weeks worth of conventions. And I noticed that, like, in my own mind, of course, I'm commenting too. I wouldn't say it out loud if I was, say, you know, a news commentator on a broadcast network. But it's just, I think you can't help but comment, at least in your own mind, because essentially the men always look the same, whether they're on that stage or some other stage, or, like, walking through the Rose Garden or walking through the halls of the Senate or whatever it is. Men, their appearance just doesn't vary that much day to day, right? Other than the color of their tie, you got nothing. You got nothing to work with.
It's pretty much a uniform that they're wearing.
Yeah.
You know, that they've got the suit on. Generally, it's a white shirt, and you're right. And for political purposes, it's either a red tie or a blue tie or a red and blue tie, right?
Yeah, right, right. It's all been focus grouped. It's all, like, the tie is really the only way to go. Whereas the women come out, and I particularly noticed it with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. This was when the light bulb
she got
went
a new hairdo,
totally new hair, right? Because she's got crazy hair, and she's got that super curly blonde hair, and you know she's from Florida, so I always assume the humidity there makes it even crazier. And so she was on the screen a lot during the DNC because she was the chairperson of the whole convention, and I just like I thought her hair looked really good, and she was also like made up and looked really great, but that's when I realized it's because the women walk out and they've done something different to their hair and they've got the color of the dress and their chances are they're much more made up than we would see her on a normal working day when she's like standing on the steps of the Congress giving some kind of a press conference. It's just like you can't, they force you to deal with the fact that they look different because they've done something dramatically. They've just, the hair and makeup gets so upgraded. You're just sitting at home. You have to notice, right?
And so it's the same was true about the first lady speeches for both Ann Romney and for Michelle Obama. There was a great deal of drama when both of them came out on the stage. They both looked fantastic. I mean, they both had on incredible dresses. Their hair looked great. You know, I mean, it was those were very big moments for the first ladies. Well, right. Or, you know, someone who wants to be a first lady in addition to our first lady.
Yeah. I mean, there were big moments for Mitt and Barack, too, but they just came out and looked the same as they always look. You know, they just, it's, there was the women, everything is like a little bit of a change up, a little bit of an upgrade. Anyway, so I'm not going to feel guilty about thinking it. I do believe that they shouldn't be hounded for how they look. I don't enjoy seeing the polls that say, did you like Ann Romney's dress better than Michelle Obama's dress? That seems demeaning. And I can totally understand why Sarah Palin found that so shocking 4 years ago when there was constant commentary on her hair and her clothes and all of that. But the flip side is Debbie Wasserman Schultz got that mane under control, at least.
I just have always wanted to give her a makeover because I felt like her hair was stuck in a different decade. She, you know, so I was pleasantly surprised to see the new do at the DNC. And I read, Liz, that there is a run on the gray nail polish that Michelle Obama was wearing when she gave her speech.
That did look really good. It was sort of the gray blue, right? It was.
Well, there's
controversy
there's probably
over that.
Much more scrutiny of the gray blue nail polish than there is some of the political, you know, political points. But nonetheless, that's, you know, people do notice those little details. And again, men don't wear nail polish, so there's less to talk about, right?
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's, okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS.
I thought overall the speeches given by the women in both conventions were just really, really impressive. It's just, you know, it's just nice to see how many great spokespeople there are for both parties who can get up there and hold their own and captivate an audience and really kind of expand your mind as you are listening to them explain why they believe what they believe. From like Condoleezza Rice, you know, to everyone this week for the Democrats. So it was really, really, really a lot of fun to watch. Though I'm sorry, I missed Jennifer Granholm, and I only saw
everyone said that was like exciting speech that she is
that she brought down the house. So I saw some clips on YouTube afterwards, but I never got around to watching the whole thing. But then the one thing I did yesterday, I realized I've been caught up in between the tennis and the conventions. I've been logging a lot of TV hours sitting at home observing Ferris, but I had also taped and not watched, because it was a conflict with the president's speech on Thursday night, the MTV Video Music Awards.
Because you want to stay current. So,
I like to stay
current.
What's
your take on the awards? I didn't watch those.
That you don't even need to be current with those anymore, Julie. I think I'm over it. I think it just, they weren't even that interesting or fun. You know, I used to always enjoy that TV show. It just, I don't know, maybe sitting home on a Saturday afternoon, which is what I did. I watched that yesterday afternoon. Again, me and Ferris in the living room watching the MTV VMAs. That's really having a good time here. But it just, I don't know. I think Rihanna could not be more talented. So I love to see a couple of the performances like that. She opened the show. She was awesome. But the rest of it just didn't really do much for me. So in case you have that on your DVR, Julie, if you taped the VMAs, you can just delete that without watching. And by the by, I also read that the ratings were down 50%. So So I'm not alone in believing this. It's just not that I've become such an old fuddy-duddy, I don't care. I think even the kids are not watching the Video Music Awards anymore. So you can save that 2 hours of your life, FYI. Okay.
Well, Liz, now that you are spending a lot more quality time at home with Ferris, I have the DVD series for you. It just came out from season one. It's Homeland. Oh. I don't know if you've seen this with Claire Danes, Dane and Damian Lewis, and Mandy Patinkin is in this. It is a fascinating TV show. Have you seen this?
I totally agree with you. I watched season one. Yes, it is. Claire Danes is amazing. Damian Lewis is awesome in that.
Yes.
It's a fascinating premise for a show that she's a CIA agent and he's like a POW who comes home, right? And she believes he's been turned.
Right, right. But everyone else thinks that he's a real hero. And she's a little messy with her personal life. She's got some things going on.
Yeah.
She's got her own personal struggles. But she was definitely wants to uncover this because she believes in her heart of heart. She got some information when she was working in Baghdad that he, in fact, was an Al-Qaeda agent. And she's trying to save the country. And so it is just, it's so well written, so well acted. It's subtle. It's tense. And it's great that there's, a wonderful female lead character. That's what I also like about it.
Well, it was one of my favorite shows of last year for sure. So I was very happy to see that it got nominated for some Emmy Awards. The Emmys are in a couple of weeks. And I believe Claire Danes got nominated for Best Actress and Homeland got nominated for Best Drama. So if you're out there and you haven't caught up with this show at all, now would be the time. Give yourself the crash course in season one. And season one is not that long. Isn't it only like 8 episodes or something, Julie?
It's only 8 or 9 episodes. So I'm trying to do it all this weekend, so I'll let you know, Liz. But I'm in deep. I'm pretty deep with that. I will have to say my husband's away this weekend, and so I've had a lot of extra time to myself, and I'm doing really two things. I'm watching this Homeland, and then the other thing that I'm just in deep with is the book recommendation that Monica gave us a couple of weeks ago, Wild, by Cheryl Strayed.
I'm reading that too, based on Monica's record. I sat on the living room couch after I watched the Video Music Awards yesterday, and I'm almost completely done with that book. It's amazing, isn't it?
It's an amazing book. Monica was right. She's just very truthful and honest. It's really well written. You can just really appreciate her struggles. You know, and it's an exciting book to read. So I'm enjoying that. So there you have it. We have some things for if you're home alone, right, Liz?
Yes,
I mean, that's
right.
For sure.
Yes, that is really that. The book is about her being alone on the Pacific Crest Trail. And, you know, when you live in the West, you know people that have sort of hiked sections of it. But I've never really thought about how hard it would be to sort of through hike on a trail that long, and especially out there alone. And she had no experience hiking at all. So there's all of that drama of being alone in the woods, and it's hard. And then there's her life, which is also a little bit messy, and what she learns about herself out there. So, yeah, go. I highly recommend it, too. Thank you, Monica, for
that was an excellent suggestion. So, but if you do get a chance to get out of the house, Liz, mm-hmm. There's a couple of stories that were in the news this week about driving that I just was taken aback. The first one is here in Texas, that there is going to be a new toll road that is opening up this week, I believe, between Austin, the capital of Texas, and San Antonio. It's 41 miles long, this toll road. But here's the thing. The speed limit on this new toll road is going to be 85 miles an hour.
Really? 85. You can do that?
I just was thinking, Texas is its own thing. 85 miles an hour in my whole life.
Yes, I have, because I've driven on the Autobahn in Germany, and there it's kind of unlimited in long sections of it. So I think the fastest I have ever driven, like behind the wheel myself, is like 120.
120 with those kilometers or miles per hour? See, the thing is, when you're in Germany on the Autobahn, you're driving in kilometers. So you really don't even know how fast you're going, right, Liz?
That's true. You're just going super duper fast, Mach schnell or whatever they would call that in Deutsch. So you're thinking 85 is too much for you.
Well, it's too much for me, and it's also, I think it's going to be too much for many of my fellow Texans, because I'm not a native, as you know, of Texas, Liz, but I've lived here for 5 years. I've been driving around for 5 years. I've seen a lot of bad Texas driving. That's what I want to say. And so I'm just a little worried about the high speed and sort of the Texas mentality, which is to either go as fast as you want or to go as slow as you want. They believe this is the land of the free here. So people, so you find just wide variations of speed on Texas roads, like, you know, where people are, you know, are going the speed limit at 65. And then there's a whole nother group of people on the same highway that are driving at like 45 miles an hour, which I find very dangerous. Don't you think?
Yeah. I can remember one time asking a German coworker, like, what's the deal? This must be incredibly dangerous, everyone going this fast and people getting on and off going slowly, right? Because obviously on any freeway, sooner or later, you have to slow down and get off or get on. And I remember him saying, well, of course, Germans are much better drivers than Americans. So they have a lot fewer accidents in Germany. But then he did admit, when we do have an accident, they're all fatal. You know, so it's pretty much that. Like, you're going 100 miles an hour, no matter what happens. If something goes wrong, it's going to be really, really bad. There are no fender benders. It's an all or nothing at all situation. You may find that on your new road in Texas.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is that when you were on the Autobahn, nobody had cell phones and nobody was texting.
True.
So just add that into the mix, too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I fortunately don't have a lot of occasion to drive between Austin and San Antonio, but I did think I'm going to stay away from that. The other thing that confounded me in the driving department this week, Liz, was I was reading in the New York Times. They had a story about those great guys out in Pasadena, right by our sister Leanne, who are working on, you know, the Mars rover. And these are the guys that actually drive the $2.5 billion Curiosity rover around Mars. That's their job. You know, they have regular, they're just regular guys. They're 30-something-year-old guys. They live in that area. They have families. But when they go to work, they sit at computers and they give instructions to Curiosity to where it should drive when it's on Mars, you know, and how to maneuver around rocks and craters and various things. And I was just, I'm in awe of that, Liz, I have to say, you know, because I just, it would be another thing that I don't think I'd be too good at.
Yeah, talk about your high stakes driving scenario. You know, that is even more dangerous than your highway in Texas. Like, one false move and you crash the $2.5 billion Curiosity. That would not be good. You're not. That's a career ender, I would think.
Yeah, you think so. And, you know, again, you've got to, it's hard to really to suss out the hazards on the road on Mars, you know, because you're looking at it on a computer screen.
Right.
You're trying to figure out how big things really are or how dense something is or how the rover be able to go over it or should it go around it or should it back up? I mean, there are a lot of big decisions there.
I, again,
I'm not the world's greatest driver. I know my limits. I try to just get in and out of parking lots the best I can, Liz, and stay out of trouble.
I guess the good news is up there are no other drivers, right? You're not going to bang into somebody else.
Right. Well, we don't know that, Liz. I think that's the point of Curiosity, is to find out who else is driving around up there, right?
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds
like... But you are going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Are you following Curiosity on Twitter? I am. And if you're not, you should go register for this. It's hashtag Mars or at Mars Curiosity, I think is the actual name. And while you're doing that, you should sign up to follow Satellite Sisters. We're at Sat Sisters. So you get these very fascinating messages from Curiosity with the latest photos. And I do enjoy following along with that whole saga.
Okay. Well, I'm just glad they're driving and not me, Liz. That's all I can say. So,
you know, me too, Julie. Me too. All right. What else do we have going on? Anything else?
Liz, you were going to just give us, you know, because I think a lot of people write to us and we just really appreciate it. They're always writing in thinking about our dad. I know you were going to give us a little this week's roller coaster report on how our dad is doing.
Yeah. Thanks for that reminder. So the roller coaster report, you are very thoughtful in asking about our dad. He has advanced Alzheimer's, and in June, we moved him to a 24/7 care facility here in Los Angeles. So this week, I know Leon went to see him yesterday, and our mother and our brother Brendan are there right now. And so we were having a lot of trouble sort of managing his emotions. He was having a lot of very angry outbursts, a lot of rage. So that is a lot better. So it's good that he's not so terrified all the time now, and he's much calmer and in general happier. So that's good. The downside is that they said he seems, he's increasingly weak, physically weak. So not just sleepy from medication, but actually physically weak. And Leon said they talked to her yesterday about maybe we need to institute some kind of physical therapy for him to make sure that he's getting the right kind of movement. So that's just another thing we'll have to think about, another bridge to cross, not something that we anticipated. You know, I think the surprise in all of this with Alzheimer's is that for as much as you read about it, you really don't know. You really don't know what's going to happen to the person you love who is suffering from it. The anger was something that really surprised us. The forgetting is something that doesn't surprise you because you know about that. And now with the physical therapy and just making sure that he's getting the right kind of treatment for that, it's just this week's thing that we're going to have to figure out what we do about that. But so that's the roller coaster report. And meanwhile, Julie, you know, our mom, you know, who's now living alone for the first time in her whole life, you know, since June, she's been living alone. It's just a very unusual adjustment for her, too. And again, you think about Alzheimer's and taking care of the person that has it, it's easy to forget what a dramatic change it is for the person who's been the primary caregiver. Our father was diagnosed 3 years ago, and it's pretty much been our mother's 24/7 focus in that 3 years to make sure my father was safe and healthy. And now she's kind of on her own in a completely different environment that she's ever lived in her life. So there's a lot going on the roller coaster every week, wouldn't you say, Joel?
Yeah, it's a tough transition for everybody. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, for you know, I have been surprised about some of the dimensions of the Alzheimer's, the disease, you know, that when you see your, you know, when our dad, and he's obviously like forgotten how to sit down, you know, mm-hmm. That some of the things that we take for granted, you know, as part of the disease, some of that motor coordination, they lose the ability to remember how to move their bodies in certain ways, to stand up, to sit down, you know, to bend their legs, to bend their foot. These are,
surprising.
All simple things, but yeah. When you don't know how to do it, it becomes very, very difficult. So.
Right. When I was there a few days ago, he was making a weird sound in his throat, like there was some kind of respiratory issue. And I realized it's like he had forgotten how to cough. He couldn't just clear his throat. So something as simple as that can become a major medical issue if you don't figure out what to do with it. So anyway, thank you for your support in that. The questions are very helpful. And I know a lot of you have written to say that you're also going through this. And so you appreciate the fact that we're just being as upfront as we possibly can be about what we're dealing with. There's the whole other element to it, of course, which is the insurance and who pays for what. And oh my God, we won't get started on that today, but we could certainly do a class on that, couldn't we, Julie?
Yes, we could, Liz.
Yeah, it takes a village. Luckily, we have a village.
Yes.
For those of you that don't have a village, I don't know what to like. Get a village. So thanks for your inquiries about that. And so this week, you know, Tuesday. Birthday for me.
I know, Liz. Yeah. I was going to make, you know, I have, you're not going to believe this, but I actually put a card in the mail for you this year. So, I have to say, it wasn't easy to find you the right card for this year because so many of the cards had pictures of dogs on them.
Or,
you know, I worked hard to try to find a card that would offer you birthday cheer. But not make you too sad. But I do want to wish you a very happy birthday, Liz.
Thank you. That reminds me, yesterday I came home. So yesterday I took Ferris to the vet. On Saturdays is when he's supposed to get his chemo treatments. But as it turned out yesterday, when we went there, they did a blood test and they said his white blood cell count was too low to give him the medicine. So that's why I'm not surprised that he's not doing that well today. And you know, obviously that was not good news. And we stopped in the park, we did a little walking around, and then I came home. And when I got home to my place here in Santa Monica, there was a big, bright shopping bag at my front door with this big, bright tissue paper in it. And it was a gift from Sheila, our sister Sheila, and her daughter Ruthie. And it was a combination of cozy clothes for me, because you know how Sheila likes the cozy. So it was, she had gone
nice.
The sleepwear department at Target. I now have a complete sleepwear cozy overhaul. And then the dog department at Target, she bought like one of those faux fur blankets and some dog toys and some dog treats for Ferris. So we enjoyed opening our presents yesterday. It was
actually, okay, Liz. Well, yeah. That's a good birthday start. That's a very good birthday start.
So I'm in my cozy clothes and he's right now laying on the faux fur blanket, that Sheila dropped by. So, but thank you. Thank you for the birthday wishes. And I hope everyone has a good week. Keep in touch with us at, you can email us, sisters@satellitesisters.com. You can always download the show and subscribe to our show at iTunes. It's the easiest. Then whenever we post a new show, it will automatically be in your iTunes library. Or the app that I downloaded to my phone that I think runs our podcast the best is called Stitcher Radio. Mm-hmm. So download. Have you tried it yet, Julie?
Yeah, that's what I think works the best.
It's definitely the easiest. It's free. It could not be simpler. So download Stitcher, and then you have all of our new shows and our archive shows on your phone. So that's Satellite Sisters to Go. And as we've said before, join the Facebook group, because then you can post whatever you want to post there too. It's not just a Satellite Sisters page that we have control over. And there were a couple of good posts this week about people who had gone to see some of the movies we recommended and enjoyed them. So, okay, there you have it. Have a good week, Jewel.
Liz, you too. Happy birthday and a good week. Very high marks on the squirrelometer.
We're shooting for a 7 next weekend on the squirrelometer. That's what I'm going for. Just going to get enough baloney in that dog so we get back up to a 7. We are the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.